Warning, the radio broadcast you're about to hear was made by men and for men. It may at times seem a little rough around the edges, brash, and certainly not canonically approved by papal authority. But its content may indeed challenge you to become the man, father, or husband God has called you to be. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome back to another week of The Obligation. My name is Jason Murphy. Hope you are well. Hope you are weathering the storms of life, so many out there these days. But of course, we remain faithful and we never lose hope. Last week we had a great conversation with John Sequeira from the Curcio Movement. And much of our conversation revolved around the balance between faith and works. We looked at the famous painting by Rembrandt regarding the story of the apostles at sea with our Lord and the storm kicked up. Of course, in that image on the left side of the painting, the seas are very rough. The apostles are rushing around, scurrying very anxiously, trying to keep the ship aright, grabbing ropes and looking very anxious. And on the right side of the ship, the apostles are gathered around our Lord, listening, hanging on his every word and trusting and showing their faith, and the seas are calm. And it was very similar to the story of Martha and Mary, where Martha's running around and she's scurrying anxiously, trying to prepare for the meal and for the guests that are there. And of course, she asks her Lord, "Lord, you know, can you say something to my sister Mary? She's not helping." And our Lord says to her very calmly, "Mary has chosen the better part." So it's a very difficult struggle in this world. Sometimes we must balance our faith with our works. We can't always be praying. We can't always be working. We can look at the great Benedictine monks and their order set up by Saint Benedict, and their motto is Ora et Labora, work and to pray. We have to do both. We can't do one or the other. There has to be a fine balance. We have to manage those things in which we must do each day. Those works, you know, getting out there, earning a living, putting bread on the table, taking care of our children, the responsibilities. But we also must integrate the prayer. We can't just sit at home and pray that everything will work out. We must merge them together. They must be in harmony and in balance so that we may unite them both in the works and the duties as we are called as Catholic Christians. I'm looking forward to my conversation today, once again joined by someone we met through Instagram. He sent a message regarding some ideas we could do on the show, and I responded back and said, "Well, hey, why don't you come on and let's do it?" So kind of put him on the spot. I'm very thankful that he was courageous and answered that call, and I look forward to bringing him on. He's a Marine, he's a father, a husband, and according to his Instagram page, the smartest person in the room since the third grade. So that's good because I'm going to need some help with this one. I'd like to welcome to The Obligation, Nathan Hamel. Nathan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right, Jason. How are you doing?
Oh, man, I'm doing real good. I appreciate you taking the time to be with us. So tell me about that one there. Smartest person in the room since the third grade.
So I had a buddy in the Marine Corps named Dean Carr, and his Instagram bio says connoisseur of fast cars, cheap beer, and chocolate cake. And I had to come up with something to kind of rival that, and that's the best I could do.
I like it. Yeah, it's been interesting, you know, with many of the interviews. It's I think most of them of those who've served in the military have been Marines. So it's been really interesting getting to hear stories and, you know, hear the tales of conversion, reversion stories, their military background, you know, very interesting hearing from folks, you know, all the way across the country. But yeah, thanks again for being here. You know, Nathan, you reached out through Instagram and, you know, really appreciate your support and your listening and kind of put you on the spot, you know, coming up on a week where I was going to be kind of limited on time. I don't like doing replays. I like to have a fresh show each week, and tossed it out there and you took it, you were running with it. So I'm really thankful for your willingness to do that. I know Always ready, right? Always faithful, always ready. Marines, you can always count on them. So let's get into it. Tell us a little bit about your background, where you came from, where you are, and kind of where you're going.
Alrighty, so cradle Catholic, kind of lukewarm, both myself and my immediate family, and we lived in the same area as my dad's parents, and kind of grew up in the same church up until about probably kindergarten, first grade, and then we moved down to Texas, and then up to Oklahoma, and Dad lost his job when we were in Oklahoma, and we just bought a 76-acre horse ranch
Wow.
straight south of Shawnee on 177. And so got a big mortgage hanging over our head, and we were going to church down there at Sacred Heart in Kanawha. Shout out to those folks.
All right.
And we kind of got taken in. All the guys in the parish gave Dad odd jobs. We, picked up pecans and stuff, and that kind of opened my eyes a wee bit, and then I promptly slammed them shut once I got into junior high and high school, and started drinking and partying, chasing girls, and then got in the Marine Corps, and I was in the infantry, and the mission of the Marine Corps Rifle Squad is locate, close with, and destroy the enemy by fire and maneuver, and there's some more on that, but
Yeah.
I had a kind of a conflict of conscience with that, and thou shalt not kill, and so
Sure.
I allowed myself to be pulled further away from the faith and completely quit going to mass unless I was home visiting, and even then I'd be hung over, slumped down in the pew in the back kind of thing,
Yeah.
just there to placate my folks. And then I got out, did construction for a while, kept carrying on with my sinful ways. And I moved back up because I got into a disagreement with the owner of the company I was working for, and moved back up close to my folks, and they kept urging me to go to mass with them, and I wouldn't, and they were confirmation teachers, and finally Dad pulled me aside after supper Saturday night and said, "Hey, I'd really appreciate it if you went to support your mom and I tomorrow when we have our students confirmed." I said, "All right, I'll try to be there." Our local mass at that parish is at 11, so it's not like it's hard to wake up for. And so I drag my butt out of bed and get into mass 10 minutes late. And Bishop Vinky's up there celebrating mass, and we kind of make eye contact. And I kind of sheepishly shuffle into the back pew. And after mass, it was during COVID, so the restaurants were closed. So my folks invited him over for lunch before he drove back to Salina. And we're in the living room talking, and he's looking at my dress blues picture and looks at me. He goes, "How old are you?" I said, 24. He goes, "Married?" "No." He goes, "You got a girlfriend?" I said, "No, sir." He goes, "You want one?" And I was like, "Sure."
Bum, bum,
Thought
bum,
he was
bum. Yeah.
messing with me. And then at first I thought he was trying to recruit me for seminary, so I was like completely caught off guard.
Yeah.
And the next day I'm fiddling around in my dad's shop, and Dad comes in and says, "You hear from Bishop Vinky yet?" And I said, "Nope." And Dad goes, "Huh, me neither." And then his phone goes off, and it was a picture of my now wife's business card with her personal number scrolled on it, and he said that he talked to her, and he felt like the Holy Spirit was telling him to arrange an introduction and get out of the way. And he thought that I should make the first move. And oh, that was a little, actually about 2 years ago. So here we are. Just had our first kid on the first of the year and
Wow,
moved
congratulations,
out.
yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Moved her out from Solana and into the middle of nowhere. And we live in a 133-year-old house that we're slowly remodeling and landscaping and everything else.
Very cool. Yeah, so you have Bishop playing matchmaker. That's usually that's a new one. Usually they're trying to play matchmaker with the church, and When you first mentioned that, when he said, "Do you have a girlfriend?" I thought you were going to say, "Well, you can have the girlfriend. Church can be your girlfriend." I've heard, priests refer
Yeah.
to, the church as their wife or things like that. So that's great. Yeah. So, man, you can't look, can't question that one. It came straight from the bishop.
Yeah. Well, I heard it ended up turning out he was looking at the Dress Blues picture because my wife's dad was in the Marine Corps, and come to find out we were in the same unit,
Wow.
based out of Virginia, FAS, and it's a super small unit, and we were even the same company, had one of the same deployments, so ended up
Wow.
being really coincidental, if you believe in that kind of thing.
Wow. No, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. That's a great story. You with the Marine Corps, I guess you spent a little time here, local North Carolina, right? Camp Lejeune.
Yep, Camp Lejeune. I did one deployment with 1st Battalion, 2nd Marines, Charlie Company, and then I didn't have enough time to make the next deployment, and I wanted to teach CQB, and First Sergeant called me into his office after I told him, about a week after I told him I wanted to teach CQB on base there, and he said, "Hey, I got you a temporary job until you get out." And I was like, "Awesome, great, First Sergeant. I can't wait to go to teach CQB." And he goes, "Yeah, no, you're gonna go work at the tax center." And so, as a corporal, I ended up running the New River Tax Center for that tax season,
Okay.
2019, I think.
Gotcha.
But,
Wow. So you were down there through COVID. How was that?
well, I always get sick around my birthday, which was last week, and so it happened again, and 2020, and I'd watched the news and I noticed that COVID's in China and they're projecting it to make it to the States, and so I got sick and I was smoking pretty heavy at the time. I went to base med and I said, "Hey, I'd like to get tested for COVID. I don't know if you guys have the capabilities to do that yet," but and the nurse kind of laughed at me and gave me 24 hours sick in quarters and sent me on my way. And turned out our whole tax center ended up getting sick,
Oh, wow.
and they traced it back to Raleigh like the week before we all got sick, and so it's probably that, but other than that, it wasn't that
Yeah.
big of a deal.
That's good. Yeah, some of your history, you mentioned that your great great grandfather, I guess, actually helped build a church that you guys attend or attended.
Yeah, I used to attend. We moved away from, or I moved my family, immediate
Okay.
family away from there.
Gotcha.
That is kind of a pillar of faith for my immediate family, because like my great grandpa, attended mass there his whole life. My grandpa, with the exception of him being in the army and moving down to South Kansas for college and his first teaching job for probably a total of 10 years, attended mass there, and all nights Columbus and everything, and it was always really cool. After mass in smaller parishes like that, everybody just stands outside for another hour after mass
That's right. Yeah.
and
Yeah.
talks. You go back there as an adult, and if anybody recognizes you, "Oh my gosh, you're so big, how you been? Haven't seen you." And this was really tight-knit faith communities that I think are incredibly vital for not only the faith itself, but the entire culture of the country,
Sure.
honestly.
Yeah, we've sort of
Yeah,
lost that.
it's a real shame. It really is.
So yeah, so you've got, pretty deep Catholic roots, I guess, especially in Kansas. Growing up, how was the faith practiced? What do you, how do you remember, as a kid? What are some of the memories, growing up and, going to church with mom and dad? And what are your memories from those days?
So wasn't as so as I, we talked before we started recording, I'd never prayed a full rosary until I started dating my now wife, and I didn't know that each particle of the Eucharist is the complete and total body of Christ, like
Sure.
and how much reverence that demands.
That's right.
So I received on the hand standing up, I don't do that anymore. I receive on the directly on the tongue, kneeling. It was just kind of a less. I'll put it this way: it was very much a Vatican II as currently interpreted.
Sure.
Is the spirit of it, I guess, is what I would say.
Yeah.
Talking in mass wasn't terribly uncommon, which I'm still trying to break that habit. And it's just, I don't know, knowing what I know now, I wish I could go back and smack 15-year-old me in the back of the head and be like, dude, appreciate what you have.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. I've got a 15-year-old, so he's probably and he's probably wondering, like, hey dad, I'm not you, and I'm so worried that he will be, or just, and you got to be careful, there's such a balance there, especially with your kids. You want to make sure you instill the right things, but you don't want to be overbearing and push them away from it. And that can be tough. That's it's a fine line to walk, where we have to clarify and we have to teach, but we also have to make sure that they can understand it, because we can't
Oh,
force
yeah.
that. Faith can't be forced. It has to be learned and it has to be understood to be fully lived. And if we force that, and I'm bad about that, and I think especially coming from a background like I have, and it sounds like we probably would have run together in some of the same circles in our early days, and many of the guys that I'm speaking with, doing a lot of the interviews with, and guys that are actually starting to take their faith very serious. Team seems to be, this undercurrent of similarity, with their either conversions or their reversions. And they're really wanting to tackle the faith and take on the world head on. I know I feel that way, and I've got to be careful, because we, as men, we want to go full force. We get an idea in our head, and we want to go at it. We want to destroy it. We want to solve it. But sometimes we have to be careful with that.
Yeah, I agree. And especially, as recent reconverts or being revitalized, or if you read that Atlantic article a few months ago about the rosary being an
That's
extremist,
right.
yeah, you talked about it on the show.
Yeah.
The rosary being an extremist symbol, the pride that comes with that is so dangerous.
Yeah.
Because you can very easily pray a rosary every day and then talk to somebody who doesn't even own a rosary and be like, tuh. You don't even have a rosary. Who are you to talk about the
Yeah,
faith?
that's right.
That realistically, you're looking at yourself in the mirror a couple years ago,
That's right.
in my case at least. And I think back to that faith-based community. I don't know why there's such a hunger for that. I would assume it's because we're the spiritual battle is ramping up.
Sure.
And no matter what denomination of Christianity you talk to, almost. It's pretty much across the board agreed upon that things are spiritually getting more tumultuous, and I think that maybe God's calling us all to group together and be ready to withstand the storm that's coming, and I'm glad it's coming in our generation so our kids don't have to go.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, we have to take it in stride. I've talked with, many different guys and had many conversations, and this is beyond us, and because we want to solve it. We want to, okay, if I just do this, or if we get enough guys to do that, it's not going to work that way. We have to work in our own souls. We have to toil our own souls to be ready, because God's going to tell us. God's going to show us when and if. I don't want to be, too far conspiracy, because we don't know the hour or the day. Our Lord tells us that very clearly. But the only way we will anywhere, be close to being ready is to make sure that our soul is ready and affecting, the world around us. Someone the other day, maybe it was my last interview, he talked about, the 1 meter rule. You can affect, those within that 1 meter, and that's most of the time it's you. And then, it's going to, of course, be your family. You're going to be, your wife, your kids, your direct, your friends and business associates. That's what we can do right now, When God's ready to use us for a higher calling, if that does end up happening, we'll know clearly what to do. He's not going to leave us confused and wonder, oh, is this it or is that it? No. That's right now. That's what we create of ourselves, but he is not going to leave us confused.
Absolutely. And like you said, 1 meter around you, folks in our space, well, men in our space tend to be like, oh, Bishop so-and-so is doing this, or oh, Cardinal so-and-so, or the Pope did this. Like, man, you can't affect that. There's
That's right.
literally not a single thing that you can do to change any of those people's minds.
That's
What
right.
you can do is lead by example. If you have a very strong devotion to receiving the Eucharist on the tongue while kneeling, then lead by example. Go to parishes you don't normally go to with your friends and family that think the same way. And, a group of a dozen or so of you walking through the communion line and receiving like that is going to cause a shockwave that you probably won't see. But I guarantee if you go back there in 2 months, there's going to be more people receiving
Yeah.
in that manner.
I
And that's
agree
just
with you.
one small example.
I'm
It
sorry.
trickles into everything. If you go, if you start going for runs in the morning and your neighbors see you, they might be like, man, I got this flat tire around my gut. I really got to get rid of
Yeah,
it.
you're right.
Or if you're out weightlifting in front of your house, I mean, don't be that guy that's in the middle of the cul-de-sac or whatever, causing traffic issues. But, lead by example is something I think a lot of folks really underestimate the power of. Like I told you when we talked earlier, the reason I transitioned from receiving on the hand while standing to receiving on the tongue while kneeling was literally because a high school friend of mine at my grandfather's funeral, there's no communion rail, no kneeler, and she goes up for communion and she just drops to her knees on the floor, receives on the tongue, got up and walked away, and she's a year older than me, just a normal person. And
Yeah.
she made me do that because I was like, man, I'm being a chicken about this.
Yeah, it's those little examples, man. They really make a difference. But I think we are gonna have to jump off here and take a quick break. I'm talking to Nathan Hamel in Kansas, and we'll be right back. Hi, everyone. It's Jason Murphy for the Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas and the Obligation Radio Show here on the Carolina Catholic Media Network. Registration is now open for the 13th annual Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas to be held on March 18th, 2023 at St. Thomas Aquinas Catholic Church. It's going to be an amazing day of faith, fellowship, and prayer. Of course, we'll be joined, as always, by our own Bishop Peter Jugis of the Diocese of Charlotte. We also have a great lineup of speakers, including Charles Frawney. Charles is the author of Slaying Dragons, What Exorcists See and What We Should Know. He's going to be there to discuss spiritual warfare. Also joining us, Jonathan Fanning. He is an author, speaker, an entrepreneur, and a father. Coming to us from High Point, North Carolina, the Diocese of Charlotte, is Deacon John Clark. Deacon is a former NYPD SWAT officer and former MMA fighter. You won't want to miss this one. Scott Wieman is going to be another one of our speakers. He is with Catholic in Recovery. He's going to talk to us about addiction and recovery for Catholics. And our MC this year will be Kevin Spaulding. Kevin is a speaker, an author, and business life coach. You can go online now to www.catholicmenofthecarolinas.org. Make sure to use the promo code RADIO and save $5. We look forward to seeing you there on this awesome day full of faith, fellowship, and prayer. For the Catholic Men's Conference, Carolinas, the Obligation Radio Show, my name is Jason Murphy. God bless, and Esto Vir. And we're back. Thanks for sticking around. My name is Jason Murphy. You're listening to The Obligation. Talking to a friend of mine, Nathan Hamel. I've been talking about setting a good example, leading by example, those small instances that may seem insignificant to us, but can make a real big difference in other people's lives. So important. I want to transition just briefly here because I just feel like we've got to talk about the elephant in the room in our country, at least for the last few days that we've seen. Of course, I'm speaking of the balloon incident, and I'm sure you even heard about it out there in Kansas, right?
Yeah, it actually it didn't go over my house, but it went over the northeast portion of the state. It's such a bizarre reality we live in, where America, the global superpower, the petrodollar purveyor of the petrodollar,
That's
is letting foreign entities invade our airspace with no repercussions until they've already done whatever job they're doing.
right. That's
You
right.
know, like, it's so bizarre. And maybe it was just a rogue weather balloon, because I don't know how they confirmed it was from China, but
Right.
maybe it was just some dude in Canada who was like, I'm gonna screw with the Americans today, and just started setting off weather balloons the size of three school
School buses,
buses.
yeah.
Yeah,
I'm a
but
skeptic, man. I'm a little skeptical on that one, but I think there's more to it. I think there's more to it.
yeah.
I think our military and our leaders certainly would not have allowed that to happen if there was an immediate threat. Would you not agree?
Yeah, I do agree. But at the same time, have you ever heard of the book War is a Racket by Smedley Butler?
Not familiar with that one.
Highly recommend it. So he was a general in the Marine Corps. I'm committing Marine Corps heresy by not knowing exactly all of his awards and battles he was in, but he's highly, highly decorated. And so once he got out of the Marine Corps, he was approached by the fat cats, if you will, to be the figurehead for a coup, because the military industrial complex wanted complete unbridled control of the government. And he declined it, and then wrote an entire book exposing everything they were trying to get him to do. Yeah.
I couldn't help but just kind of think of the three card Monty,
Yeah.
watching and moving and look over here and I don't know. To me, it seems a little strange that number one that we knew it was a Chinese balloon. I'm still confused of how we knew that. I mean, perhaps, I mean, if we knew that, then did we know it took off from China, and did we watch it the whole time?
Yeah, that's almost worse than it popping up, to be honest. Why didn't we shoot it while it was over the Pacific?
I just don't think I mean, for as advanced as our military systems are, I just don't see anything sneaking into our government, into our airspace especially. But yeah, the great balloon incident of 2023, what's next? So
This was not on my bingo card for 2023. I'll tell you that much.
I think everyone missed that one. Yeah, I think everyone missed that one. But yeah, today's conspiracy theory, tomorrow's news headline. We've seen that, with so many different things, and it's really hard to sort through and not try to keep one of those feet, one of your feet in the conspiracy theory hat there. But we just gotta pay attention, and of course, just like anything, just like our faith, just making sure we're staying balanced. It's okay to have those thoughts and wonder, and question things, but certainly being consumed by them, I think it would show, sort of a lack of faith. And that brings us back to the 1 meter rule. We can't control that balloon up there. Don't know what it's going to do. We can control, our soul and making sure, if that balloon's going to take us out, that we're ready to go, So the list goes on and on. But yeah, I agree, to just be careful out there, because they will come after you with great vengeance to destroy, if they see you working for the church, working for goodness in this world, which so needs it. Speaking of, these conspiracies and these, there's this number we can go on and on. I mean, but recently, these poultry farm fires and, destruction of crops and, this, these mandates of vaccines, and it goes on and on and on. But that brings us to kind of a question of, how do we stand our ground in a system that we're relying on, right? I mean, how do we prepare? You know what? So, you know, it's difficult. Of course, those living in the city. I live in the city. You know, if something goes down, it's going to be a little bit more difficult. But what are some things that we can do? I know you've mentioned before, you know, and you guys are kind of self-sustained out there, working towards self-sustaining.
Yeah, working.
Yeah.
So, we kind of in the previous phone call, we kind of talked about. I said, if you can't stand without the system, you can't stand against it. So,
Yeah.
as the 1984
There you
book
go.
becomes a reality, and
Yes, I
whatever
agree.
other dystopian novel
And
you
yeah.
want to throw out there,
That's right.
I truthfully, I don't think we'll ever get there, especially in rural communities, but we'll get close, I reckon. So it comes down to, what can you do without? If you don't have any way to, well, one, if you don't have any food, like most people have like 2 or 3 days of food in their pantry.
Yeah.
And that's, I grew up rural. So like, that's weird to me to think that it's something like 60% of Americans only have 2 or 3 days of food in their house. And so like the closest Walmart's an hour away. So we'd make a weekly grocery trip or every 2 weeks go get groceries. And so we always had, a whole bunch of food in the house because there was nowhere to get it. If we needed a cup of flour, we'd have to drive an hour. And so I think it's really important to have, start small, start with like 5 days, and so if you have a tornado come through and the roads are closed off because, flooding or, a tornado took a bridge out or whatever, you're not worrying about having to feed your family because you got the food on hand. And
Right.
then you can build up to a week, So if something more major happens, maybe there's a wildfire they can't put out that's got highways closed off outside of town and you can't get anywhere. So you got a week. So you got a week of a buffer, which means you have a day to realize what's going on. And then you have 6 days to figure out what else you can do about it.
Yeah.
And then just slowly build that up. And then food production. So, if you want to take a stand against the proverbial man, I guess, you got to produce your own stuff. And a lot of people, I see it in comment sections on YouTube a lot and in like forum posts. People get so, they get their minds blown by how much it entails. And I think if you parse it out into smaller sections, it makes it a lot easier to digest and work on it, and you don't drown,
Yeah.
basically.
Yeah.
So instead of thinking, I want to produce all of my food, maybe you could say, I want to produce all of my eggs. And then all you got to do is, if you got a family of four, you eat 8 eggs a day, you're going to need probably 10 or a dozen chickens, and there's your egg problems taken care of. And any
Right.
extras, you can water glass them, or you can scramble them and dehydrate them, or freeze dry them if you got the cash to buy a freeze dryer, so on and so forth. If you say, hey, I want to produce all of my own vegetables, and you got, again, we'll just go off a family of four because it's easy. You can plan out, so we eat broccoli twice a week, or we eat green beans 3 times a week, or whatever, and just do your math out for the whole year. Times 52, and figure out roughly how much green beans or broccoli or whatever. And I would start doing stuff like that, and like tomatoes and peppers and kind of salsa things to get you used to growing stuff, maybe like
Sure.
the first year or two. And then if you're really wanting to work towards self-sufficiency, I think it's important to realize that there's not a whole lot of calories in broccoli or,
That's a great point, yeah.
stuff like
Tomatoes,
that.
lettuce, yeah.
Yeah. And they don't store well unless you process them. There's
Mm.
carrots, potatoes, dried beans,
Right.
nuts, fruits, if they're a cultivar that's made for long-term storage. You can store them over winter without any, just in your basement or a root cellar if you happen to have one.
Right.
Because a lot of the prepping folks have these massive, beautiful gardens, but they're dominated by, kind of, I kind of call them like the fluff, tomatoes, peppers, which are important for flavor. I'm not saying you shouldn't grow them at all, but again, squash, potatoes, corn, beans, carrots, radishes, turnips, rutabagas, that kind of stuff, and herbs, because you're gonna want to season your stuff if you're
That's
eating
right.
that kind of food. It gets pretty plain.
Yeah, exactly.
And
Yeah,
then
go ahead.
go ahead.
Oh, you mentioned also, which I thought was pretty fascinating, protein-rich gardening and then also edible landscaping, which was just a new idea that I've never really considered.
Yeah, so I really honestly got the idea from when we lived in Oklahoma. We had these beautiful, well-established 50 to 100 to 150-year-old pecan, oak, hickory, and several others who are escaping my mind right now, trees. And when my dad got laid off, those pecan trees gave us Christmas, because we gathered them up in trash cans and sold them at the little stand on the highway, and that cash turned into Christmas gifts. But you're gonna have to do some research on what grows in your local area. Like, it's too dry here to grow pecans. Although I did buy, well, I had a friend buy a 10-pound sack of pecans from Western Oklahoma, where it's a tad bit drier, and I'm gonna start trying to breed a drought tolerant pecan. I mean, it's going to take probably till the last decade of my life to actually get it done, but who else is going to do
Right.
it?
That's right.
Then you got like Siberian pea shrubs, and those are great for feeding your livestock, and you can eat them. Hazelnuts, if you have chickens or quail, which is another thing I've got in the works. You can grind up the hazelnuts in like a wood chipper and feed them to poultry. I mean, your cows or goats or chicken or cows or goats or sheep will eat them too, but it's a lot easier to find forage for those bigger animals, because you can just kind of put them out on pasture.
Yeah, so
Cottonwoods.
if you're limited on space, it makes sense, using some of the edible or also you mentioned also as some, I guess, screening or fencing, right? Some of these plantings can kind of keep the chickens or animals in.
The Siberian pea shrubs have, some cultivars have thorns on them. Osage orange, Bodart, it's another one that's got thorns. There's not really much you can do with it besides that. It makes great firewood, burns really hot, great posts, make bows out of it, obviously. And so, like, my current plan is, Siberian pea shrubs around the interior of the fence we already have up, to create an additional barrier for one, keeping mainly the dog, because the chickens don't really care to go over the fence, but keep them in. And if things get really crazy, it'll help keep other folks out.
Or at
And
least
then
slow them
the
down.
yeah make a lot of noise, fussing and fighting when you get poked by 2-inch thorns.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And so, if worse comes to worse, it's a perennial, it's super drought tolerant, it's a nitrogen fixer. So anything you plant in proximity to those is going to get that nitrogen boost when you trim the hedges back. And so it's a really interesting plant. It's a shame that we haven't, as a nation, really looked at it much. It's really obscure. They use it in Canada for windbreaks. I actually get mine out of Towner State Nursery in one of the Dakotas, because those are like the only states that really use them.
And that's the pea
Is
shrub.
Karanga, I think, is the Karanga something is the Latin name.
Interesting.
It's a really interesting plant. And anyways,
Definitely take some
hazelnuts.
study. Sorry, go ahead.
There's plenty of YouTube videos on this stuff too. Hazelnuts is another thing that's native to most of the country. And if it's not native, if you take care of it a little bit and help it establish, it'll probably be all right. I've got like a dozen plants already planted here that have made it through a year and a half. And then I'm planning on planting another 25 here this spring.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we're We're in a house that was built in 1890 on 1 acre, and the house is in the southeast corner. So it lets me have a lot of room to play. And I grew up in greenhouses and gardens, so like I love it.
No, that's great. Well, I mean, I guess all of that goes along with pretty much everything we've been talking about. You know, you got to have a balance there. I know some folks get so wrapped up in the prepping and then you sort of lose the God factor because it's like it's all about me and you just don't know because, you know, something may happen where you can't even stay where you are and or something destroys your crops or something. So I think it's certainly it's a good exercise in prudence. I think it's very, very intelligent, especially these days. And we're seeing it. You know, we're seeing it on the news. We're seeing it in our grocery stores. We're seeing the prices that are skyrocketing, the limitation on what we can buy. So it makes you wonder, like, well, if I can't buy it, you know, how difficult can it be to grow it?
And
So.
that's part of my kind of mindset is, I'm already an hour and a half where I live now from the nearest Walmart. And so like the nearest Target's like 3 or 4 hours away. Like
Wow.
we're in the middle of nowhere. And so, if I wanted hazelnuts, especially fresh hazelnuts, I'd have to drive quite a ways to get them. So it's kind of like it's just practical. I've got all
Yeah.
this space. Plant some hazelnuts. I like Nutella, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Make some Nutella. I
Yeah.
mean, if that doesn't
And
mean anything, sure.
yeah. And so, it's, and I feel like there's so many dudes out there who feel the same way, but aren't sure that anybody else feels that way. So they're kind of like, ah, man, maybe I'm a weirdo for wanting to plant a garden. That's kind of a girl thing. Why do I want to do it? And, back 100 years ago, everybody was in the garden. That was,
Right, that's right.
like a family bonding exercise. There's, they used to pray while they picked beans. It's just
Yeah.
it's another one of those lost arts we were kind of talking about earlier.
Absolutely. No, it's part of being a man, you know, being able to take care of yourself and provide and not be dependent on someone else when it comes to the health and welfare of yourself and your family. I think it's certainly a lost art that needs to be you know, brought back to life. So I think we're going to have to take a few minutes here coming up on our second break, but talking to Nathan Hamel, and we'll be right back.
Hello, Carolina Catholic family. This is David Papandrea, founder and chairman of Carolina Catholic Media. Please join us during our 2022 Catch the Spirit Pledge Drive season, starting with Giving Tuesdays and culminating with our 36-hour Sacred Heart Share-a-thon. Your pledge will help us better plan and allocate resources to evangelize the truth of Jesus Christ across our 7 media platforms in the Carolinas. Every dollar raised goes back into the Carolina Catholic operating and capital expense budget to grow our apostolate. When you consider the state of the world and the extraordinary times that we're living in, with a cancel culture, unprecedented media bias, mistruths, and disinformation everywhere, it's clear why Carolina Catholic Media is here. Our mission is to communicate the truth of Jesus Christ and the Catholic Church to over 5 million souls in the Diocese of Charlotte and upstate South Carolina. With that comes a commitment to create diverse local programs from our parishes, schools, and ministries. Our vision is to bring everyone together as one unified Carolina Catholic community. Carolina Catholic Media is a 501c3 nonprofit. Your financial gift is 100% tax deductible. To sponsor or donate, please email me at feedback@carolinacatholicradio.org or call me at 800-857-2909. That's 800-857-2909. We appreciate your prayerful consideration to support us during our Catch the Spirit Pledge Drive. May God bless you abundantly.
And we're back. Thanks for sticking around. Having a great conversation with Nathan Hamel. We've been kind of talking about being self-sustaining, homesteading, you know, being able to grow your own food and kind of prepare, not in a worried way, of course, you know, but trusting and using good prudence to be able to be a complete man, a man who can, you know, defend his family, not just physically, but also provide and put food on the table. I think that goes a long way, especially these days in a time of destruction of manhood, you know, and just the lack of that knowledge that it seems like most men have. You know, we talked earlier, you know, we kind of talked about, you know, how without a band of brothers, without, you know, having others around that you know are like-minded, you start to feel like a weirdo, right? But once you kind of, you know, at least for me, I'm starting to kind of reach out and get in touch with a lot of guys out there and kind of realize like, hey, you know, there's some really strange things going on. And, you know, we really need to be doing a better job as men because society is doing everything it can to destroy, you know, what we are, what we should be. And you mentioned, you know, kind of the idea of a priest, prophet, and king within the domestic church. You know, let's dig into that a little bit.
Yeah, so I don't know how much reading you did when you were a kid, but I was an addict to books, and I read a lot of, you know, the knights and kind of fantasy books about kings and I never once heard of a king that rented his castle. And so I think it's prudent to make sure that you own the shelter that your family lives in. And obviously, you know, in the housing market right now, that's not feasible for most people. But, you know, say you have a decent sized yard and you could park a camper there. Well, at least if you have a camper and you lose your house for some reason, at least you're not completely homeless.
Right.
Or, you know, if you're a young man like myself starting out, when my wife and I bought this house, man, I kid you not, there was cat and dog crap all over the house. They were growing. Let's put it this way: they had a greenhouse in the basement, and like it was rough. It was rough. And it's a beautiful home at its core, but it was just so dilapidated. And I got it for the price. I got it cheap because the guy hadn't paid his taxes on it. He was an over the road trucker. And he hadn't paid his taxes on it for like 4 years. So it was about to go to an auction. And so I approached him. I heard it from a friend of a friend kind of thing. And I said, hey, you know, I'll give you this much money for your house. And he was like, no, it's worth more than that. I said, have you been in there recently? Because I don't know, man, I kind of peeked in the windows and it's not worth much more than that. And so we kind of haggled a little bit, and I gave him 2 weeks to think about it. Next time he came through, he was like, yeah, I'll sign the papers.
There you go.
So like for reference, it's an 1800 square foot house on an acre built in 1890. And wow. I paid less than I paid for my 2009 half ton Chevy.
Wow.
So and granted, again, middle of nowhere, but it, you know, that's something you can look for. If you're a young man, maybe you're in the trades.
Yeah,
you got a little cash stacked up and you can afford to dump it into a house and then dump some money into repairs and remodeling. I tell you, the peace of mind you get from owning where you lay your head at night is unparalleled. It really is. And not only that, but you don't have to worry about your kid. You know, if right. you've got kids and, you know, you lose your job and you can't make that house payment, you don't have to worry about it. You know, you got to pay taxes annually, so you never really, I guess you never really truly own anything in America, but about as close as you get.
Yeah. No, it's true. I think most probably live well beyond their means, under a tremendous amount of debt, whether it's credit card or lines of credit or whatever, and that certainly does not let you feel free. That does not, you know, feel like the American dream when you're just living to work. You know, we should work to live, but not live just to work. I think that sort of puts the cart before the horse.
That was a paraphrase of a Benjamin Franklin quote, wasn't it?
You know, you're the smartest guy in the room since the third grade, so I'm gonna have to count on you on that one. But
He said, "Eat to live, don't live to eat."
oh, there you go. No, there you go. So, yeah, I've got a little bit up there. I can't put my finger on it sometime where it came from. But yeah, so you know, I think that's super important. I know that makes a big difference. You know, laying your head on your pillow at night, knowing that you know that what you got is yours. And no one's going to come take it from you. So,
Well, and it goes back into the, you know, the kind of prepping mentality. If I had to have full and complete coverage on my house as far as home insurance goes, because I had a note on it, it would have cost me out the nose to put a
yeah.
wood stove. But since I own it, I just cut a hole in the wall and put a thimble in there and ran a chimney pipe out. Like, it's all the code. Like, I checked all the codes and stuff, but I didn't have
Sure.
to ask if I could do it.
Right.
Then I just called the insurance company and said, "Hey, I want to keep it as close to my current payment as I can." And I put a wood stove in, and they were like, "Okay, well, you know, we're going to drop your whatever they would pay me if it happened to get hit by a tornado or burn down or whatever by a couple grand, or I don't remember what how it shook out, but you know, I didn't have to ask anybody. Same with the chicken coop. I
Right.
just built a chicken coop, and then I went to the city hall and I was like, "Hey, so I built a chicken coop. What do I need to do paperwork wise?" And they're like, "Well, you already built it, so whatever."
There you go. So, I mean, that's kind of a, you know, speaking of, you know, credit and of course creditors taking what you own from you, you know, that's a threat, obviously. Let's talk, you know, let's kind of along those lines, you know, proper threat assessment, you know, maybe on, you know, with a physical and, you know, with something, you know, perhaps at church with family. You know, it's not always going to be the weapons that we need to be concerned with, right? That's a little, that makes you scratch your head a little bit, but let's talk about that.
Yeah, so guns are hyper masculine. That's what it is. Dudes, you know, growing up, you find a stick on the ground and you're like, "Oh, that looks kind of like a pistol."
That's right.
So everybody loves to carry a pistol where they can, and sometimes where they can't, and nobody really thinks about medical. You know, now finally in the last year, 18 months, people are starting to talk about tourniquets, but very few people carry a full or almost full individual first aid kit on them. And you know, if the absolute horrendous act of that church shooter down in Texas or any of the other ones across the nation over the last few years, that happens, only one guy or two guys need to have a gun. Hopefully everybody has medical, because you know, it's great if you stop the threat, but now what? Now you got to wait for an ambulance to get there, and that could be anywhere from 5 minutes if it's next door to an hour if it's down the road a ways. So, you know, I used to be really good about it. I'm kind of hypocritical saying this, but I want to be honest. I keep one in my truck. I don't always carry it on my person. The one that I have is, how do you feel about product name drops?
Go ahead.
It's from the company Live the Creed. It's their pocket IFAC. It's got a SWAT tourniquet, which isn't super great, but if you carry a CAT or a soft T wide, that'd be a great accessory for it. It's got an occlusive dressing. I think it's got a pressure dressing, and it's got gloves. And so, like, with that, you can patch up, you know, one or two gunshot wounds pretty decently. And if you got a little ingenuity and you carry a roll of duct tape with you can get a heck of a lot done that way. But I think, you know, your job as a father is to get your kids to heaven, or as a husband and father, is to get your kids and your wife to heaven and to keep them safe and provided for here on earth. And a gun is only like a tenth of that equation.
That's
You
right.
get into food, shelter, health, spiritual health, and everything else. You know, all the, we'll go back to the stereotypical YouTube prepper kind of guys that, there's a guy, Bear Independent. He talks about, he had a whole video rant about how he was mad that his most popular video ever was like, my favorite AR-15 or something like that. And he posts all these videos about like all the formulas to figure out how much wheat you need to store per family member per month or per year, and and how to raise sheep or chickens or whatever. And he's, you know, he's right. The sexy stuff sells, whether it's guns or
Yeah.
whether it's immodesty, you know.
That's true. It's very true. Man, we have covered a lot of ground here. It goes by super quick. While we're talking, it just kept coming to mind, you know, our Lord's words to us in the book of Matthew, you know, regarding our treasures in heaven. And I just feel like I'll go ahead and break that out real quick. So, you know, Matthew, book of Matthew, chapter 6, our Lord says, "Lay not up to yourselves treasure on earth, where the rust and moth consume and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up to yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither the rust nor moth doth consume and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where thy treasure is, there is thy heart also." So I think that's what we've been talking about, you know, just kind of, you know, being prudent, but also having that faith and having that balance. Nathan, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Really appreciate you coming on the obligation and sharing your story and definitely, you know, especially the tips regarding planting and self-sustaining homesteading and threat assessment. You know, I think those are some wonderful things, some ideas that, you know, are definitely new to me that I think a lot of guys can benefit from.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. And you know, it kind of came as a shock when I messaged you and said, "Hey, maybe you should have like a Catholic prepper on here and kind of talk about that." And you're like, "Well, why don't you do it?" I was like,
That's
"Well,
right. I'm always
I'm
there,
not."
ready to go, man. Let's do it. So I really appreciate you coming on and being brave to do that because I know it can be a little intimidating. But you know, once again, I really appreciate you coming on and having this discussion.
Yeah, man. Thanks again. Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
All right, and everybody out there, appreciate it. Once again, Nathan Hamel. Nathan, if folks wanted to find you on Instagram, maybe see if they could, you know, find out some of your tricks of the trade. What's the best place, or what's your how they find you on Instagram?
It is at Inhamsky 123, November Hotel Alpha Mike, Sierra Kilo India 123.
Nice.
That's my handle. I'm probably going to make it private to kind of filter out some of the.
Sure.
I've been getting a lot of bots recently,
Yeah, they're
so I
out
need
there.
private, but I haven't. But that's me. It's I think my profile picture is my wife and I on our wedding day.
Awesome. All right. Well, I appreciate everybody tuning in, and we'll see you next week. God bless, and Esto Vir. If you enjoyed this episode and have any questions or comments or would like to come on the show and discuss your faith walk or any issue regarding the Catholic Church, send us an email at feedback@theobligationshow.com. You can also catch all of our previous episodes and all of the shows of Carolina Catholic Media at www.carolinacatholic.org. Click that donate button and we'd greatly appreciate it. There are also many opportunities to sponsor the show, the radio station, and the Catholic Men's Conference. Join Sensus Fidelium, Harmony Home Solutions, and Wallach Investments, who have pledged their funds to help keep Catholic radio on the air and relevant. Sensus Fidelium is a collection of Catholic homilies, apologetic videos, and other resources to grow in one true faith. They can be found online at www.sensusfidelium.com. Wallach Investment LLC is a strategic moral investing firm committed to placing their clients' interests ahead of their own. Their mission is to be a force of good in their relationships to make the most of their clients' investment, giving them the time and confidence to pursue their mission. Contact Daniel Wallach at www.wallachinvestments.com for more information. For the Obligation Radio Show, the Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas, and the Carolina Media Network, my name is Jason Murphy. God bless, and Esto Vir.